problems, nor is it about saying, well, you've got to become a Christian and then we can talk about how your life could look differently. Instead, biblical counseling with non-Christians is having honest conversation with another human being, as Jesus did with many non-Christians, the woman at the well and the rich young ruler and Pharisees and Nicodemus, and you've got all kinds of people he's interacting with. And with each person, he's tailoring it to them, and his questions and his encouragements and his homework assignments and whatever are designed to help a person begin to see their life through biblical categories. So even before they necessarily are being drawn to biblical solutions, they're beginning to at least see their problems as the Bible sees those problems. And when you come in your life to a point where you're saying, wow, I really do see, I am enslaved to the opinions of other people, now suddenly the idea of having something that you could value and care about and treasure and love more than the opinions of other people, and that in fact you've already been loved and valued and embraced more than you could ever desire in Christ, that suddenly starts to sound like really good news that could have impact on my world. So taking that specifically to the issue of emotions, I would just say emotions are one of the richest, most natural connection points, because that's where people are really feeling what they value. And they probably haven't made that connection. But biblically speaking, our emotions flow out of our loves. And so when we're feeling emotions, it's not, you know, there's a natural invitation to backtrack towards, well, what are you really valuing here? And the more you can articulate what you really value, the more you can begin to actually come face to face with questions like, is that really something I can base my whole life on? Is that really a thing that's going to carry me through? How do I feel about the fact that this is the most important thing in my world? Is that, in fact, where I want to find my hope and security in this world? And what if there was something better?
I'll ask a question that came up in our small group at some point. I'll ask it on their behalf. Can you speak to the sort of experience where, and if I don't capture this right, I'm sorry, where you feel like if you were really to start engaging deeply in your emotions and with the Lord, that there's this hesitance to go there because you fear, like, where's the bottom? Where's the end of that? I'm just going to be, once I open the door, it's a flood, you know, the floodgate starts, and where's the end of that process? Does that make sense? You wanna?
And what did you say in your small group when that question came up?
I didn't answer it.
Oh, good. So you were saving it for now.
I was. I wrote it down to save it for now.
And what would you say?
Talk to Alistair. Do you want me to answer that?
I really do, yeah.
I mean, my initial reaction to that was, which is maybe not the best reaction, was yes, that is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's so hard. It's so hard to know, like, what you fear is going to happen is going to happen. It's going to be a floodgate that's opened. And I think what's helpful to be able to pair that reality of, like, yes, this is going to happen, is actually some of the things I was talking about, is you were going to open that floodgate with God there. That's not going to say it's going to be easy, but you do it knowing that you aren't just staring at your emotions, you're not just staring at your own internal world, you are also looking to Christ as you do those things. So I think about, is it J.C. Ryle, where he talks about, you know, I'm going to switch the metaphor a little bit, but he talks about how every time you look at your sin, you're also taking four gazes at Christ. I think this is also an analogy that fits when we think about, as I'm delving into all the craziness of my emotion and all of the things I'm experiencing, I'm also looking and looking and looking at Jesus. So it's hard to say, yes, I think that is going to happen. That floodgate will open. I've had that experience. And coming out on the other end of it, as is often the case, we can say that was totally worth it. I think another thing I would add is open the floodgates in a controlled way, if possible, with other people. You don't have to, as I did, unfortunately, for quite a long time, experience that by myself. Like, you don't want to do that if you can avoid it. I don't think you have to avoid it in this room. You have people that can be helpful to you as you start unpacking those things. Who can be with you as you're processing those things, as you're feeling like the bottom is falling out and you don't know where it ends. Do that with others. Let them speak into it. Let them uphold you. Let them pray for you. I think those are my initial thoughts, but I'll let you add to it.
I couldn't agree more. That is a perfect answer. That is exactly right. And I'll just simply underline where you started, which is you're walking into whatever flood with God there. Mm-hmm. You are not walking in by yourself. And you're not called to be sufficient for the flood. Mm-hmm. It's not about, oh no, if I open this floodgates, then I have to be the only person who can ever bear any of this weight, and I'm gonna have to bear it all, and I can see myself 10 years down the road still working. You know, it's just all you're doing is taking one step. Mm-hmm. In faith, knowing God will be there to meet them, he'll be there to meet you. You are not the Messiah. You are just being called to step into a situation with the Lord there. And the difference between, the floodgates, it's going to be uncomfortable, versus, okay, the floodgates, it's going to be uncomfortable, and Lord, be with us, is night and day. So yes, exactly what you said. Yeah, I'll repeat the question, and I'll repeat it slowly so Carly can be thinking about her answer that she's about to give, because it worked really well last time. She says right things, and I say, great, yes. So the question is essentially, what can we as friends of people who are in counseling be doing? What can we, friends, are you thinking about the friends of someone who's in counseling, or thinking friends of the counselor? Friends of the counselor. How can we as friends of those who counsel, who are more formally or significantly or deeply or frequently involved in this sort of really deep getting into each other's lives, souls ministry, how can we support and encourage you guys as counselors? Is that a fair? Okay. Carly.
It's one of the coolest questions I think I've ever been asked. Mm. Like, how can I help you? There are a couple of things that come to mind. I think one is... It's going to sound trivial. This is not, you know, it's not the most important thing, but I think it is an important thing, at least for me, is I really appreciate having friends that have nothing to do with counseling. Mm-hmm. So nice to have a friend who is on the opposite end of the spectrum, who's like, do you want to hang out? Do you want to go something fun? There's just a reorienting when what you're dealing with all the time, and I don't counsel full time, but even more for people who do, where what you're being exposed to is a lot of brokenness, it's a lot of hardship, sin, suffering, and you need to be reminded that there are really good things to enjoy in this world, mm-hmm. and other people to enjoy, and God at work, because often the people coming into the counseling room aren't the people who are saying, you know, past like 2 years been really solid. Like, you don't get to hear those stories. And so being friends with people who remind you of that is so helpful. Being able to share joy with them has been really meaningful to me. I think the other thing is, you know, one of the things about being a counselor that we've talked about a lot, CB and I've had this conversation, I think we've probably, you know, CCF, we've had this conversation, is that counseling is very isolating, because you can't exactly come home and then tell everybody about how your day went, mm-hmm. right? And so one thing I think that kind of comes with that, plus the fact that a lot of counselors are introverts, and we often, I'll speak for myself, I fall into the tendency to, you know, move into isolation more broadly. And so having friends who won't tolerate that has been really good for me, to say, but no, like, really, how are you? And I'm going to press for the details, to push me. I'm looking at Robin and she's smiling, because Robin is often that person for me. She'll be like, no, really, I want to know. I don't want just like the very simple answer about how you're doing. I remember one time you point blank were like, well, are you reading your Bible? And I wasn't. You know, so it was just so helpful that somebody was just shooting straight with me. I needed that. So.
Mm. Yeah, I think I feel something similar. I think I would say, on some level, it's incredibly simple. It's be my friend. Mm-hmm. Be my friend. And therefore, everything Carly just said about you know, it doesn't have to be all about counseling, but at the same time, if you, but take an interest in me and how I'm doing with it. And I can't give you details of what I talked about with so-and-so or that I'm even talking to so-and-so in many cases. But there's something about, you know, if you're curious and thoughtful about someone, you sort of imagine yourself in their shoes and you're like, huh, you know what would be really hard for me would be fill in the blank. Like, do you ever experience that? I think just being asked questions, it's very rare as a counselor that you have someone in any kind of intentional, thoughtful, or extended way sort of draw you out. Mm-hmm. And so on some level, it's not so much, I don't need you necessarily to draw me out about counseling, but you know, you're always on that one side of the equation. And I've found on rare occasions when I've had someone really draw me out, it's almost like it takes a minute or two for me to even shift into the mode of mm-hmm. allowing myself to answer questions and be heard. So I love that question. Thank you for asking it as well.
I know there might be other questions, but we do need to wrap this up. As I was sitting there, I was thinking about my emotions, and really the emotion that is overwhelming me right now is gratitude. And I was thinking about, you know, all the prayer and all the preparation that has come into this retreat, and I think the Lord has answered abundantly more than I could even think to ask for. I am grateful for your presence here. We don't take that lightly. We know to devote 2.5 days away from your home and your other responsibilities is a commitment. And it's not that you've just been here physically. You have been here. I have seen you guys engage in the teaching. I see the nodding heads. I've seen the tears. You have been engaged in your small groups. So I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I know that all the committee that spent a lot of time preparing for this really are grateful. Also, for the richness of the teaching that we have received. I know that it will be weeks and months and maybe even years before I can really, truly absorb what we've learned here, and I thank both you, Alistair and Carly, for your preparation that was obvious and for your care, your own prayers. Really very thankful. And for the richness of the fellowship we have experienced. I have seen friendships forged. I've seen people engage each other, love on one another. I'm thankful, and I guess the one thing that I want to commend is that let's continue this. Let's grow this. When we get home and we all get busy with all the other things that we have, let's continue, let's move, let's press forward into these relationships. The Lord may bless. I am so very thankful also for the vulnerability that we saw from these testimonies. I mean, we've had 3 women who bore their soul in front of us. They told us about the most precious thing in their life, which is how the Lord redeemed them. I could not be more grateful. Those stories will resonate in my head for a very, very long time. And I pray that I can pass those stories on to the next generation. And I pray that you do the same. Because they shared those stories because those are stories to be heard. Because it's about Jesus, right? It's about what he has done. And we're so thankful. Of course, grateful for the beauty of this place. Its location was beautiful. I think service was great. The food was delicious. I mean, we experienced a whole holistic experience here. I mean, not only did we get fed spiritually, but we were fed bodily, and our senses were enriched. So I'm very grateful for that. Also grateful for the fact that we were able to put our emotions into song. Thankful for being able to sing these amazing hymns. You know, our church so values these rich, rich hymns because they do give words to emotions and to our trust and faith in the Lord. And of course, I'm most grateful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our common bond, right? We know that he is the shepherd. We know that even though that we are desperate, needy, lost sinners, he deigns to call us his children, his beloved. And this is who we are. And whatever emotion you might be feeling, whether it be a good emotion or a bad emotion, we know that that's our anchor, that we are loved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sisters, it is my deepest desire, not only for you, but for me as well, that we, that when we go home, we remember these things, and that we would continue to grow in love for him and love for each other. There is one more giveaway. Lucia, can you explain where the sticker is?
Sure. It's under a chair somewhere.
And where's the prize?
I don't know.
Okay, there's a book on anxiety over there. So if you can look at that. Yay! Okay, ladies, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing the doxology as we close, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, we are indeed very thankful. Thankful that you have so loved us. Lord, we are desperately lost people, but desperately loved people, infinitely loved in Christ. Lord, please continue to work your way in us, especially as we consider emotions. Lord, we pray that ongoingly our emotions are informed by your word, by your person. And Lord, please help us to repent where repentance is needed. Help us to draw comfort where comfort is needed. Lord, do these things in our lives. And Lord, as you help us to understand how you work within our own hearts, Lord, use us as instruments of grace in the lives of others. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Help us as we go home, indeed as we re-enter into those many responsibilities that we have left behind. Lord, help us to bring what we have learned and apply to these settings. And help us to be a blessing to others. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. We could stand to sing the doxology and then we'll wrap up.